Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already the end of the week. I think the next time I see you, today's the 27th, it's Friday, 28, 29, 30. No, Tuesday will be May 1st already. So I hope wherever you're living, it's getting warmer and maybe not crazy weather, but at least a little warmer. And we'll just be able to enjoy this weekend. It's beautiful out here. They have the Autism Walk at the Rose Bowl tomorrow. And there's a lot of things going on in Southern California this weekend. But today we have Questions Friday. And I have a lot of questions. I had a question from Christopher Sedre, and I can't find it. I put it in a file in my emails, and for some reason I couldn't find it quick enough. So I'm going to try while we're on the show. But I have a bunch of other questions, and I think I may actually roll over because I remember most of Chris's question, and it might be answered by another question that Maureen asks on the page for the radio show, on the Nadia Khalil Morning Show page. So we have Susan writes, philosophy is useful for people because philosophy is truly an expansion of ideas we know. It doesn't have a religious basis. And it doesn't have a poetic basis. What philosophy does, and actually it's pretty cool that, you know, there's like something where we can talk about things, philosophize, we can take classes, we can learn about other people's ways of thinking, other people's ways of living, enjoy their philosophies, how they live, what they base their life on. And why they base it on what they base it on. There's, you know, always the discussion of religion, but that gets shut down if you're not that religion. You will only find out bits and pieces from whatever someone tells you or whatever you read, but you weren't born into it. So you don't know all the nuances. You don't know all the things that, you know, they do to feel like they're doing their best or that they're, you know, honoring their religion, that they're pillars in their community through their religion or whatever it is that they need to do to be part of that religion, of that life. Or you're born a background, you know, you're born whatever, Arabic, or you're born Greek or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're honoring that background. And you want people, even though you may not say, like, I know a man who was Greek and he wanted a wife that acted like a Greek woman, but he didn't want to marry a Greek woman. And yet he wanted her to cook and clean for him and he wanted her to basically behave the way he needed her to behave. And as a result, nobody was able to stay with him. And it's because they didn't understand what he was trying to get out of them as a person. So they had not only different backgrounds or religions or philosophies, but the philosophy of life is what will keep two people together. Because two people who are backgrounds and share the same philosophy can stay together because they both know where they're going. But without that sense of direction, internal direction that you may share with another person, it's hard to stay. Another example of sharing philosophies would be as well, you know, I'm not every religion, but I don't talk about every religion, but I do talk about God, and God is in every religion. So based on that and just based on general philosophy about God, people will say, well, I can listen about God, and then what they do is they pick out what I'm saying and tell me what's the same. And then if something's different, they'll be like, oh, well, that's different. You must be wrong, or you must be a little bit off, or whatever. And I said, well, you know, it's just we were born with different philosophies on how to accept. It's not what I'm saying. It's how to accept the philosophy of how we learn. And then you have the great philosophers of our time who have thought these things out and write about us from a different angle without putting on top of us fear, doubt, worry, control, or guilt. So philosophers have a lot more leeway to speak because they're not speaking from that realm. They're not speaking from a limited realm. So I hope I answered your question, Susan. I am going to start with Maureen's question. And she says, Nadia, let me see. On page 317 of Origins of Truth, paragraph 6, it says, Nadia, there are other spirits. There is a Jesus. However, there is not in all spirits the knowing of all things. I have explained this to you prior. It is not that the angels are wrong. It is the points of evolution as in the humans. However, those angels have to speak to audiences of what they can receive. End of quote. I'm wondering if you can expand on this, Nadia. It's just I've watched so many near-death experiences now, and most say when they are not in their physical bodies or in the non-physical realm, a lot of them seem to say they understand everything. So for me, hearing that a spirit being on a non-physical realm does not know everything seems strange to me. Also, from what I understand of what you said before, I understood or thought that ill-willers, non-members, that they're, I don't know what non-members mean, non-members, that their energy stayed on Earth until they rose to love. Is there ill-will or negative energy everywhere elsewhere in the universes? Also, I'm wondering, what was Christ's name when he was on Earth prior to being meshed with you? Thank you. Well, Christ was Jesus on Earth. That's why they said when he was here as a person, his name was Jesus, so Jesus Christ. I didn't know that because when he said and I saw him that he was Christ, that I was, it took me a minute to get to, oh my gosh, you know. Yes, you do know everything. When I saw Christ, I did know everything. But this is what happens. Our evolution, no matter what we know, so try to follow me on this. It's actually really simple. Everything we know from our perspective. Like if I'm a Muslim person and I die, I'm going to see what I've been taught to see. Even though I'll know everything around it, what we have experienced in life is how we evolve into who we are. Even though we might know the answer at the back of the book, how we get to that answer, if we ourselves did not experience it, we will not know. Every single question I ever had from Christ, or that I had to Christ, I did not get an answer, I got an experience. Now that's in life. When I see him or saw him, I do open up. I know everything. It does go away when he goes away because I'm here. However, when we have near-death experiences and we go home, we also know everything to what we know. We just know everything. Everything we ever wanted to know, we know. Now, let's say there's two souls and they're both at home and one just came back from being on Earth and the other one's been there for a while, even though there's no time, but it blows up when we're on Earth. But, you know, you just get back. You're brand new. You have to go through almost like a transition, you know, even though you're there. So now you're there and you see each other and we flow through each other to pick up each other's information. Now, let's say I met you up back at home years from now, Earth years, but either way, when we're home, and you flow through me and I flow through you, you will know every single thing I've ever done, and I will know everything you've done, but I don't evolve from knowing your experience. I just know what you've done, but I don't evolve from it. I don't grow from your experience. I only know it, learn it from you. But whatever I myself have experienced, now I feel like an expert on because I've evolved. I'm like, oh, I've done that. And when I've done that, you know, this and this and this is what's happened to me. So I can tell you, like I realized that I've been talking about self-love from the day I saw Christ, even before, but in a whole different way. I've been doing this for 16 years, not one day or 2 days. And the other day, I'm reading this ad that, who was it? It was Tony Robbins. And he was talking about being an expert in what he did. And I'm sitting there and I go, he is. I've seen Tony Robbins twice. I saw him once at the very beginning of his career. I was there for almost like, it was like 8 in the morning till like 9 at night. It just didn't stop. And I was starving and I was sleepy. And at the end, I could have just slept in the chair. And I went home and slept and I woke up and I felt hungover, even though I've never been hungover in my life. But I felt like that. I felt like, oh my God, and I have to get up and go to work today? Like, wait, what day is today? And I was so out of my mind. So what happened was, so he said he was an expert. And I thought, I'm an expert. An expert on self-love. Feel that way about what I've learned from Christ. Because now not only did I know it, because when I saw him, I knew everything. I knew it. I felt it. It was the easiest information to have. I didn't need all that information, but I knew it. But after I saw him, for me to learn it, for me to get it, for me to feel it, for me to have grown from it, I had to know him all this time for me to understand. Because we'll know everything. I had a very beautiful friend of mine pass last night. And I only found out about him like 3 days ago. And about a month ago, I thought about seeing them again. I just thought about it. And I didn't. And because of their philosophy, to go back to the first question, when I first got divorced and my kids were 5 and 7 at the time, they did not want me to tell their kids that I was divorced. They didn't want to tell them. They didn't want them to know this happens to their friends because they had a fear in them. People being different, even though they know it happens, even though they know it goes on in the world, at that time they couldn't accept what they know. And it was out of fear. Fear it might happen to them. And when I'd go there, they would ask me questions and insinuate things, and I finally felt bad enough from what I knew that I stopped going. And 2 years ago, I ran into the wife of the marriage, and she got tears in her eyes when she saw me, and she gave me her number to call her. And I thought, okay, but I would have liked to see her. I wanted to see her, but I already knew what was going to happen if I went, even though years have passed. And I never called her. And then I found out a few days ago that her husband was sick. He had spinal cancer. Spinal cancer, that has to be so painful. And I said a prayer for him, and true to form, he didn't want to see anybody. He hadn't seen anybody for a long time. He didn't want anyone to see him. And I'm sure he died peacefully with his wife, exactly where he would have wanted to be. And he passed away. And this morning, I felt closer to him than I have the whole time I've ever known him. Because now I knew that he knew. He could see. Now differently, his eyes are wide open and they don't miss anything now. They don't have blinders on them. They don't X people out. They don't make you feel bad or judged. And he wasn't mean about it. He just had his philosophies. You know, I don't hang around people who do this. I don't do that. One of his funny ones, if you have a foreign car, you were not allowed to park in his driveway. And he wasn't kidding. only American cars. And that was the way he lived his life. He lived it exactly as he wanted to. He evolved in the ways he needed to evolve. And now, he can see. And now I'm allowed to love, allowed to feel. So we all know, it's like in life, we speak to capacity. When you don't understand the answer, you experience your way to the answer. So there's different kinds of knowing. But once we go home, we can see everything. We can see everything. But let's say a baby passes and a baby goes back home. A baby doesn't even know yet that it didn't not know everything, because the baby's still transitioning from home to here, and they sleep a lot. They go from being in water the whole time. Think about it. When we start here, we live in water, and then when we get out, we can't live underwater anymore. Takes the baby a while to transition from being in that, being there. But if they leave right away, they never know that they didn't know anything. They're just the same. When you see people with near-death experiences, that's what one of the things that prepared me to see Christ. When I remember this. It was right before 9/11. I was working, and I had 2 weeks off. And I went to Chicago with my kids. We went. And then for the first time ever in my life, I left both of my kids with my parents for an extra week, because they, you know, they can only see them in the summer, and my kids weren't ready to leave, and they weren't ready to let them leave. So I left. And I came back to California, and I was bored after work. And what I did was, they used to have the video stores. They remember, if you remember Blockbuster, I used to go to Blockbuster. And what I did was, when I would go to Blockbuster, I started with the A's, and I worked my way down the alphabet. So by the middle of the week, I was down to L. And there was a show called Life After Life, a movie. And it was like a documentary movie. And I looked at it, and I go, oh, I saw this guy on Oprah, kinda. The guy, the doctor who did the movie. And so I put the show back on the shelf. And then something said, no, you need to get it. So I got it. And at that time, I haven't seen Christ. And it was just like an urge, a push to get it. So I get it. I bring it home. I don't watch it. So now I go to return it to get another movie. I thought, oh, I knew I wouldn't watch it. And then, no, let me retake it out. So I retook it out. And then like the night before I was going to return it, I think we got the videos for like 3 days. There was a limit on the time. And I was going to go return it. And I thought, well, this time I better watch it before I return it. And I saw it was filmed in the 70s. That knowledge was out since the 70s. It was here. I could have found it at any time. I heard little snippets of it here and there. But we were just starting to see around the world that anyone who's had a near-death experience was saying the same things. So now we know. Everyone who had near-death experiences is saying the same things. But what are they saying? We don't know yet until we seek out that information. So now we're seeking out that information, and we're finding out that no matter what language someone speaks, no matter where they live in the world, that's a commonality. Like Christ says, we're all the same, then we're all different, and we're all the same again. The only difference between us is our talents, our evolution, our experience. There's nothing else. So I see this show and I'm watching their eyes. The look in their eyes was just like, and then, you know, I didn't even believe in God, and I'm floating around the hospital and there was a baby crying and the doctor was near the baby and no one knew that the baby was crying because its hip was broken. And he goes, and I could hear, he was Russian, and he was a Russian scientist, and he was on his way to the airport to come to the United States and do research here. The Russians were very upset that he was coming to the United States, and they sent someone after him to kill him. They hit him with a car while he was trying to get to the airport or walking. I don't know how they did it, but they hit him with a car, and he was in the hospital, and they thought he died. He thought he died, I guess. He was laying on the table, everyone was with, that was with him. And when he was laying there, he left his body and he was floating around the hospital. And he couldn't believe that he could hear everybody's thoughts. He goes, I heard their thoughts. I kept hearing their thoughts. I loved their thoughts. And every time he'd say it, I'd start laughing because he was so passionate, but I didn't understand that thoughts was thoughts. And I watched him again. I rewinded and watched him again, and I watched him again, and he was totally 70s dressed. And I found out. He came to the United States, and I don't think he ever did research once he got here. He opened a church in Texas. I can't remember his name, but he's from a movie called Life After Life. So when you hear these things, now I'm gaining experience. I've almost died a few times. I never saw all of that. I saw it at a restaurant instead. So we all receive this information. It is here, but if it's meant for you to really, you know, almost die and come back or, you know, see Christ or whatever it is we're going through, whatever it is we're doing, a lot more people are hearing things. Beautiful things. Because now we're more open. We get it. When Christ told me, if you saw me, that opens it up to, it's a possibility for anybody. And by the way, you're not special because you saw me. There will never be a soul more important than another. So that's not why you saw me. You saw me because this comes with a job. And you'll figure it out. And I'm still figuring it out. It's been 16 years. But now I have experience. And that experience has value. And that value can now be shared in a different way than while I was figuring it out. And the beauty of the shows and the beauty of the way Facebook works and the beauty of how people can meet each other now allows us to share this information, which is what grew it exponentially. We have so much going for us. We have so much to feel good about that you can get to a place where the downside of life, the scariest things we thought would happen, like we would die, it's still very sad. It still makes us come up with feelings we didn't expect to have. But we understand it differently now than we used to. So when we go, yes, we know everything. And when you talked about the negative energies, that their energy stayed on earth until they rise to love, it's not that they stay on earth. If we die, when we die, only pure energy can travel. So what happens is that negative energy that we carry here, let's say we like to hurt people or we did this or we did that, even though we believed in God, or let's say we didn't believe in God and sometimes we're really good when we don't believe in God because we don't feel the baggage of it. And whatever it is that drove our life to be our life, the negative stuff stays behind. It cannot travel. It's not strong enough to travel. Only the pure energy, as we call it, love, here, pure energy, but it's pure energy. It's the only energy that brought you here, and it's the only energy that can take you back home. You don't take your problems with you. Your problems end when you die here. Your evolution ends. Your mission ended here. So that all stays here. A way you could visualize it is, let's say someone had a ton of debt and they died. Their debt stays behind. They can't, their bills don't follow them to heaven. They don't send them a bill by God and, you know, just address it heaven or home. You're gone. Whatever's left here and whatever matrixes we set up to entail the families and entangle people over the money is our lesson, not theirs. So there's very interesting, good questions, great questions, but, you know, they really need to be understood. So now you have one, and still more questions for Friday. We know about God being in the part of us and the feminine side of God that flows through us, Asna, and the main part, the wall of light. But is there any more? In Origins of Truth, it says once about the fierceness of God. Can you expand on that also? And would God like to be called something in particular, a name, a title? Thanks so much, and good luck getting through all of our questions. God doesn't care what we call him. That's why I said the other day, when people say the source, or, you know, people were scared to say God because of the baggage. I'm like, say it and let the baggage come out. We need to see the baggage. It doesn't matter what you call God. Francis writes, does God have a will? God is pure intellect. That's a good question. Does God have a will? We all have free will. So that would only mean, because we came from God, that God has that. But God, when I saw him, was just a wall of pure intellect, which almost felt like whatever the very best, highest thing we could know existed there. And it was infinite, but it was only based through pure energy. So there wasn't a downside to God. There wasn't a fear, a doubt, a worry, control, or guilt. Even with me, a little dot in front of him, there was no, like here, everyone good, and then you'll see a movie, and then there's like this little thing they do. There's nothing God does. He's just like static, pure intellect. Just boundless love, boundless, pure energy, if you want to put it that way. No downside. Now, if God, in the feminine side of God, Asna, the main part, the wall of light, but there isn't any more than God is God. God is pure, pure energy that only propels us to greater and greater and greater and greater knowledge as far as our capacity can take us. Doesn't give away the answers, though. There's no answer book because we have free will. We have choices to go back and forth where God already knows that there's only pure energy. It's actually really beautiful because when we think about that light at the end of the tunnel, trusting that, knowing that is the light at the end of the tunnel. Because that tells you that everything that happens, there's a purpose behind it for us to learn, and we will learn it if we have the experience. Experience is the biggest deal in all of this. I can't believe it's over. I could talk about that all day long. And I only have like 16 seconds. So you guys have a great weekend. If you're interested in the summit, check out my website at www.nadiakhalil.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.